beaming into a mind like a ray of cosmic revelation, smashing through the mainstream like a comet of prophecy. You're listening to Planet Vrilok, your podcast for everything super psionics and magic tech. Yes, welcome to my show. Well, tonight I'm going to talk a little bit about the big global game, hedging the game board, and the difference between being an ordinary fellow and an esoteric or you know, a cultist. So, without further ado, let us begin. What am I laughing about? Well, I think it's a stress laugh, really. Nothing's all that funny right now. But let's look at what's going on. All right, so on one side of this big global game board, we have the Nationalist Party, and then on the other side of the game board, we have the Communist Party / Socialist Party. And what happens when either one of those takes and seizes full control over a country? Let's start with the left side, the communist side. Let's start with that. Well, first, the socialist movement is used by the bigger communist party behind it to push out our old system and bring in a new one. And in order for that to happen, certain events take place. Cities burn, people are dragged out of their homes by the young and restless, and, you know, terrible things happen. And then, what happens to those forces of chaos, the ones who go in and, you know, hurt people and burn the city on fire? Well, what happens to them is when the communist leaders finally seize the power that they want, and the usefulness of those rioters has been thoroughly exhausted, then the Communist Party brings in their soldiers and lines up all the useless rioters and says, face the wall, don't look back. And then they shoot each one of them in the head, in the back of the head. And they're executed. And it's their process of elimination. And then from there, those of us who are still somewhat useful, we're thrown into factories, and essentially we belong to that communist party. Let's look at the other side of the spectrum. Well, on the other side of this fence, on the other side of this game board, I should say, then you have the nationalist, and when they seize full control, then everything becomes only about this nation first. Sounds good at first to a lot of people, but at the same time, the guise of being a patriot can be used by a nationalist movement in order to seize full control and then in the process make life uncomfortable for those who are not American citizens. And it won't stop there. It will progress to who's this ethnicity or not this ethnicity. And then it won't stop there. It'll move on to, well, who's more of this particular bloodline and not this particular bloodline, and so on and so forth. And basically the whole process of genetics, that big game thing would be continued as it was begun during the world wars. So, I don't know. How did this all happen? America, the big playing field, the big experiment. Now, America Incorporated. It's got quite a few hands in it from around the world, other foreign powers. Whether we're talking about Israel, or if we're talking about Europe, or parts of the Middle East, or China. And so during the well, I believe it was as early as 1912, and definitely in 1913, we had the Nazi Party moving into United States. For instance, one of the most famous and less talked about names in that time period was in 1912 or 1913, with the arrival of one man by the name of George Scherf, and he was within their Nazi Party. I believe Scherf might have meant, it might have been an old German word for a coin, and had to do with money. So it may very well have been even just his code name, and not even his real German name. We're not sure. He was supposedly adopted, or his might have been his son adopted by the Bush family. Then there's the work of the research work by Webster Tarpley, a historian and pioneer in researching the Nazi Party, and he took those deathbed confessions from Otto Skorzeny. Skorzeny was Hitler's bodyguard, and so a lot of secrets had been revealed. Plus, Otto Skorzeny had a box of photographs which proved his involvement and much of what he was saying to be true. There's also word from people who I have known, who are now dead due to old age or health problems, who lived during the Second World War. Two who I know served in the Second World War. One was an American Marine, my grandfather. The other was British Royal Air Force, and he was a friend of mine, and a civil engineer by the name of Peter. I don't know his last name. He died at the age of 82 or 84 or something like that. And you know, essentially what people have told me from those generations of the World War II generation is that, yeah, it's true that during one time in history, the Nazis used to pull up and surface from the water in their submarines in the New York Bay Area and just wave to the Americans. At that point, we weren't involved in the war when they did that. And then and over in Germany, we had some famous names. One was by the name of Gregorius, another by the name of Master Therion. You may have heard of Aleister Crowley. And they were involved in some pretty serious occult circles. But even they, Gregorius, who was at that time the head of the Fraternitas Saturni, the Brotherhood of Saturn, in other words, he fled to, I believe it was Switzerland, during the Second World War, and then he was pulled back to Germany just 2 years before that war ended. He served, I think, 1 year of either house confinement or it might have been imprisonment, but then he was released by the Führer and allowed to continue his occult work in Germany, which was very unusual because many of the other groups, and one in particular group that was very supportive of the nationalist movement in Nazi Germany, was actually banned by the people that they supported, by the party that they supported, actually banned them. Interesting, right? Banned them, and any other groups and fraternities were essentially shut down for a time period until the war was over, and which time after that, Gregorius resumed his bringing back together the Fraternitas Saturni. the Brotherhood of Saturn. So we know there's been a lot of different groups here and there, but I suppose the point of tonight's podcast is really to impress upon my listeners as to what type of mind I am and what I'm trying to do for people who follow me. This world is temporary. We can do some things to improve this world, and more so for improving the quality of our own lives and people that we know through our brotherhood and through our psionics. But you see, I mean, essentially, we don't live forever. We do pass away, and so our real purpose and focus is for the higher attainment of consciousness, to fill ourselves with more consciousness, to become more aware and familiar with the various worlds. And these various worlds exist within like frequencies. So there may very well be many other spectrums where these frequencies have within them other worlds, which we are very interested in the exploration thereof. These things really interest us, and me particularly. I am very interested in the invisible world and the world of the occult. We have, folks, for your knowledge, for your information, two streams of information, or knowledge, I should say. One is exoteric, that's common knowledge. Everybody gets to know that knowledge, whether you're a Bible scholar or not. You have exoteric knowledge. But there's another stream that's called esoteric knowledge. That's not for everyone. That's the wisdom. That's whatever amount of it has been able to survive the various book burnings throughout the world, the disasters, the climate changes, polar shifts. We believe we've had those in history and possibly predating history. And so I'm more in league with the esoteric teachings and the hidden knowledge, the occult. Ergo, I tend to refer to myself more as a metaphysician and a philosopher. But occultist is a fine enough title. I guess it sounds kind of technical. And a lot of this can be technical, doing the research to find out information. So for me, I like to pursue what I believe was Gautama Buddha, who is quoted as saying something to the degree of, walk the middle path in order to escape the bondage of this world. So I tend to think in those terms, is to sort of stay in the middle and kind of watch what's going on and understand that, you know, the world isn't always what we think it is. Nobody's got clean hands. Doesn't matter how much you like one side of the game table or the other. Everybody's got their fingers dirty. We're all a bunch of sinners. We've all done bad things by other people's standards of what they'd consider to be bad. I don't know what you think about personally. That's up to you. Only you can be the judge of your own actions. You can be the judge of yourself, I should say. So, in the long run, I really think that it's important for us to try to live our lives the best that we can for today, instead of always thinking about escaping the bondage. I know that's hard to do, but, you know, there was this old film. It was called Escape from Sobibor, I think it was called. And that's a film wherein they're in a concentration camp, and it was the biggest escape out of all the concentration camps in history. But while that ending of the film made great Hollywood, the part of the film that really caught my attention is in the middle of the film, where the Jewish elder is listening to a younger Jewish member in the concentration camp yell and scream about how angry he is that all of us Jewish people in the concentration camp are drinking and dancing and being merry and flirtatious, and how can we do that if how can we enjoy ourselves while other members of our people are being killed? So the elder says to him something to the effect of, well, we still have to live, and you know, we drink and we dance because we're alive, because this is for our spirit. They can't kill us, they can't kill our spirit, you know, but they can kill our bodies, they can torture us, but they can't kill who we are. We can't let them. And so when I saw that movie, it was a really, you know, terrifying movie, by the way, for its time. You know, it'll turn your stomach to watch that film, for sure. Just the sheer brutality of any kind of extreme mindset. That's why I don't get involved in parties, because, and I'm not talking about disco parties, I'm talking about political parties, is because extremities of any kind, whether it's on one side of the table or the other, it always, you know, it's fueled by fear. Becomes anger, hatred. I hate to have to quote Yoda here, but hatred leads to suffering. And that's where all these people are headed. And if you want to be apart from that, dive into some of my occult teachings and psionics, which is really a big breakthrough. And we're always continuously making new discoveries in psionics. I'll be publishing a great book on splicing and another one on tethering in months to come, or some sooner than that. These are new discoveries in psionics. And the reason why psionics is so incredibly important to us right now is that we don't have to be involved in any kind of a fraternity or a control group, or bow down to anyone else in order to use psionics. We don't have to have expensive equipment. We don't have to have big ritual chambers. It's a different methodology that moves us into the future of mental power and magic by new means. And these means will always evolve and adapt and get better and better and better. So, but you do need the philosophy. You do need the training. My club's the best place to go, Vrilok.club. And get started by reading some of my books first at Vrilok.com/shop and discover my journey. I've lived around the world. I've moved from America to Saudi Arabia, where I went to school in Saudi Arabia at an international school. I've met all kinds of people around the world. Later, I lived in Japan once for a couple of years, and then the next time I stayed in Japan for 7 years. So I've probably been there a total of about 9 or 10 years. And I've discovered things that are amazing, and I want to share these with you, particularly in my Vrilok Practical Guides. There's a new paperback series. You get all three paperbacks in this collector's edition. Go to Vrilok.com/shop and check it out. And get the magic that will help you change your life. Take the journey with me and see what we can do together in the world of psionics. I think that about does it for tonight. So thank you for joining me on Planet Vrilok. And thank you for your support. Until next time, as always, always keep the magic high. This is Tom Vrilok, signing out.